All right, we're going to jump into the scriptures tonight, so you can take your Bible and get that out. We'll be in Proverbs and 2 Samuel to start. If you want to move over there, that'd be fine. Proverbs and 2 Samuel. I'm trying to pray over the right messages to preach in preparation for our tent meeting that we're having, because there's a whole lot more that goes into this. Doing that here at our church, putting this on ourselves than it is if we're with a group of churches, putting it on like we have in the past few years, different places there in Indianapolis. And so you pray for that too. As it is right now, I don't know that there is any spot that's been picked out yet for the tent meeting for September. And I know Brother Campbell's been looking at places kind of on the near west side of Indy, but nothing's come about yet. I did have the fairgrounds guy. I saw him last night actually at an event I was at. And he said, you're welcome to come back to the fairgrounds. And so I don't know if it'll be there or not. I liked it there. It's nice and close and thought it was a good area. They treated us right. But I think most of the team and all that would rather be in a more of a neighborhood type setting. So you just pray over that and that'd be a blessing. And praying about what to preach. And, you know, when we talk about putting ourselves out here like this, and a lot of us are pretty introverted, really. I mean, we have our own little sphere of influence that we typically are accustomed to, and we're not real good about talking to strangers in a sense. Some might be, but most aren't. We learned all from a little kid. Amen. Don't talk to strangers. And you get saved, get into church, you're like, you need to talk to some strangers. Amen. And it's just a different mentality, and it's like we spend a lot of time trying to embolden people, encourage people to get up the nerve to go ahead and try to talk to someone that they don't know as of yet. But you know, with meeting new people and reaching out, there are some dangers. There are some things that we want to be very careful of. And I want to preach a message tonight on what healthy friendships are. And we make friends of those that we know. Amen. You don't have any friends that you don't know. Amen. And from some that you know, you're not friends with them. But of the group that that they do become your friends, it's that group of people that you do know. And so as we reach out and we meet more people, learn more people, get to know more people, you just need to make sure that you're set up in such a case that you're protected. Amen. And that influences are powerful. And I mean, even the whole YouTube thing and all that, it's influencers, right? It's all about influencers. And it's because TikTok, all that, what's the big complaint right now is that they're influencing the younger generations and some of the olders on there too, to think a particular way politically and different ideologies and things like that. And so it's just influence, right? And so there's different things that we allow to influence us. The videos, songs, gaming. There's a lot of social type of activities that take place within the gaming community, church, work, just out and about. There's a lot of influence that actually takes place. I was actually at a political thing last night, a Lincoln Day dinner over in Perry. Got to see all kinds of people. Jim Banks, got to see him. Got to talk to Mike Speedy, got to talk to all kinds of people. You see the signs for Williams. We actually sat at their table, just meeting all these people. It's just absolutely amazing. Different ones and spend a lot of time talking. You just try to influence. That's what I was there for. I was talking to a guy. It's his first time. He looked like he was a little out of his element. And I said, you know, we're just here to influence. We're just here to, you know, try to influence somebody. Just try to be a help, you know. But guess what? Others are trying to influence us too. Amen. And so that's all going on around us all the time. And you just have to be ready for it. So I want to give you a couple passages in reference to friends. And then we're going to go down. I'm going to make a bunch of observations. And then we're going to talk together here at some point about just our idea of some things in reference to what healthy friendships are and how to build, if you will, a kind of a barrier around us, but not a barrier that's impermeable. It's just a barrier that kind of filters good influence, bad influence, right friends, not right friends. And so we'll do that here in just a little bit. But Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a couple very, very familiar passages in reference to friends. The Bible says, Proverbs 18, 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm thankful for my friend Jesus Christ. Amen. He showed himself friendly to me, and he came to me. Amen. I was not looking for him. He was looking for me. And you were not looking for him either. He was looking for you when he found you. Amen. And I'm thankful that each of us said yes. There's many that he seeks out and they say no. They don't want him to be a friend. But he has proven to be a very good friend to me. Amen. I can trust him. He's always got good advice for me. He knows how to comfort. He's a shelter for me. He's everything, amen, to me. And he is truly that friend that sticks closer than a brother. But it says here that if a man hath friends, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And if you're not friendly, you're ultimately not going to have very many friends. Amen. Some people are very hard to befriend, to get to know, right? Because they're kind of closed. And I understand that. Maybe they've been hurt before. Maybe you're hard in that sense to be a friend of or to get to know. But it would be probably because something's happened. And it's caused some issues there. And you don't want to open yourself up again to a relationship like that. But can I say, being a friend with other people, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it to put yourself out in a right way and risk the chance of being hurt and go through all that that might happen. It's worth it. Amen. It's what God has intended. And he would have us to be friendly. Amen. He would have us to be friendly one with another. When we were in New York, totally different type of people there. And we would try to hold the door for somebody or let someone go past us. And we got looked at like we were like from Mars or something, right? And it was okay. Amen. And I kept messing up by saying howdy. I don't know. They just don't use that word over there. Howdy. Amen. And but it was interesting. It was fun because you're learning a different type of people. And we learned very quickly that it's just normal to be rude. It's normal to push your way through. It's normal just to, if you got a little glimmer of something, you cut, you go. And nobody thinks anything of it. It's just the way that it is. And it was fun for that day to kind of be immersed in that environment. But it was different. It was different. But I enjoy just learning those different things and all that. But even with that, we talked to people, and we would find people that we could chat with and have conversation with, just be friendly to. And it doesn't really matter the environment. There's a way to break through those things, amen, and to be friendly and then have that time with others. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, that doesn't mean the brother is born to be adverse to his brother. It means that when you have need and you're in adversity, you can count typically on your brother to come and help you out. A brother is born for that, to be close there, to be help. A friend loveth at all times. And even more than that, a brother, amen, a close connection like that, a blood relative along those lines should be close. And then even spiritually speaking, brothers and sisters in Christ should also, we're actually born, if you will, for adversity. And we have issues. We have those that we can actually lean on and that we know will help. Amen. But a friend loveth at all times. A true friend doesn't get offended. A true friend doesn't get hurt. A true friend doesn't say, well, I think they have ill intent. A true friend doesn't think evil. Amen. And I know that's something we have to constantly work on. Charity thinketh no evil. Amen. We don't think the worst. Amen. We're Christians. Amen. We don't want to think the worst. We want to think the best. That doesn't mean we're looking through the world with rosy colored glasses, but you can get in a mindset where you start looking down on everything and everyone, and you've already tried that thing out, and you've already convicted people before you've even heard them out. Amen. And you've kind of thought evil there. Amen. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to think that way. We should love at all times. That doesn't mean that we cover people for people when they sin. No, we know how to call people out when people need called out, amen, and speak the truth in love, but we still love. We love at all times. My boss, when I worked at ATA, would always say this, stuck with me. He says, we don't love people to death. We love people to life, amen? That is so powerful. We don't love people to death, amen? As a matter of fact, if you love me to death, stop it, amen? Stop that, amen? And just love to life, toward life. That's what our love is. Our love is always toward life. Now, the world will use that word love and use it in a twisted way, a perverted way, and they'll say, well, you'll do wrong for me if you love me. That doesn't even make sense, biblically speaking, in reference to what love is, amen? A true love is a charity type giving love, actually a moving of somebody towards what's right, not helping somebody to be engaged in what's wrong. That doesn't even fit. That doesn't even work. That's a worldly concept, not a God concept. Look over at 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13. In the Bible, we have all kinds of examples in reference to friends and all that. You're very familiar with Amnon and Jonadab, I'm sure. I want to just read a couple verses of this text to show the powerful influence of a friend. It can be powerful for good, but it can also be powerful for evil. And in Amnon's case, his friend was a powerful force to get him to do something that was not just wrong, but was so wrong that it affected his life, and then he would ultimately die over it. It affected his family. It affected a nation, right? And that's how powerful this friend was in his life. So when you think it's no big deal, it's just my life, whoa, whoa, whoa. Your life isn't just your life, amen? You're living your life around a bunch of other people. You don't live in a vacuum, amen? And we have responsibility to others. So when I let somebody influence me to go a direction that's not right, it affects more than just me. It affects a lot of people, amen? And no matter where you're at, your age doesn't matter. It will affect you. It will affect many also. Just like bitterness, right? Beware lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's not just you. People think, I have a right to be bitter. No, you don't, because you're affecting a lot of people in your bitterness, amen? And so we want to be very careful with how we receive things, how we interact with others, how we respond to things. In 2 Samuel 13 and verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar. Can I just say, just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's a right feeling. How can it be so wrong when it feels so right? That old song, actually, the lyrics would state. I'll tell you how, because the Bible says it's wrong. That's how it can be wrong, amen? Amen. And so we want to be careful. Just because we have a feeling doesn't mean that feeling's right. He was sick for his sister. He wanted her so badly. It says, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He just didn't see how it would work out. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimnah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Subtlety is interesting. It means he's not simple, he's subtle. So he's able to kind of operate below the surface. And he's one of those guys, after you think about it for a while, you think, whoa, 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 I think he was, because he's subtle, right? It's not on the surface. And very, very subtle, thought through things, just understood how things operated. Verse number 4, and he said unto him, why art thou? So the subtle man, Jonadab, is saying this to Amnon. He says, why art thou being the king's son? In other words, don't you know who you are? He says, why is it then that you're lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see, he's awful quick with this. He must have thought this through. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And of course, we know the rest of the story. If you're familiar with this at all, ultimately, David would come, he would grant that, and then he would rape Tamar. And it went bad from there. I mean, it just got really bad. But where did it all start? Well, number one, we know that Amnon had a desire that he couldn't control. And then number two, he listened to the advice of a friend. Amen. Do not disconnect yourself from the power that friends have over you. We want to be very careful there. It could be a really good thing, right, in an encouragement way, but it could also be in a bad way, encouraging us, being that one voice we needed to hear. We were already kind of thinking that way, and that one voice comes in and agrees with you, and then you're willing to go. You don't think through the consequences. You don't think past the moment. You don't think a month down the road, a year down the road. You just don't think. We should, but in this case, truly Amnon did not. And he didn't vet. He didn't prove what his friend was telling him. His friend just bypassed all those thoughts there of protection for self. And he allowed that advice to come in. because he had no barriers set up. He had no filters set up. He had no standard of what right and wrong set up. And so he let it just come right on in and then be put into action in his life. So as we prepare for the tent meeting and just life in general, we reach out to people and we're trying to do something good. We're trying to get them to hear the word of God, what Jesus Christ has done for them, that they're sinners and that there's a wage for that called death and hell, and that Jesus Christ came and did for them what they could not do for themselves. And we're going out to tell people the good news. Good news, Jesus Christ has done everything for you. He's paid your sin debt. And if you'll come his way, he will forgive you of all that and make you a child of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a wonderful message. Let us not let something we're doing as in good be turned to something that actually ends up hurting us. I guarantee you there's been a lot of people with good intention to go out and try to help people and in the end only be hurt themselves. Amen. And so as a pastor, as I urge us to talk to people and go out and do these things, the other side of that is I want you to be safe doing it. And I don't want you to be hurt through the process. Amen. So I want to give you a couple of thoughts here as we talk about what it is to engage in a friendship with someone. And when we do this, we must determine that we have that we will have healthy boundaries. Amen. It's like the advice I would give to young people. Some people, they never study the topic. They don't seek advice. And they go out and they start dating. Boys, I don't know. You do realize a lot of things happen with the old boyfriend-girlfriend thing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things happen, right? Wouldn't you be wise to look into that thing before you jumped in? Well, sure you would. How many do? They kind of wait till they get in there. And then when they're in the thick of it, they think, well, I'll just figure it out as I go. You're going to mess up. Because you got all these emotions and all these pressures that you aren't ready for, and it all comes in. And so I encourage people, before anything like that ever happens, check out God's word on it. Amen? Let's look at some things and develop some boundaries so that you don't do something you're going to regret for the rest of your life. Amen? And so that's pretty wise counsel, I would think, amen? Just trying to help you out, keep you safe. Well, the same is true also in other areas in reference to friendship. Now, I will say this, in reference to boundaries, I've come to know that I am the Lord's. When I got saved, I was bought with a price, amen? And now I'm supposed to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's, amen? I am the Lord's, and as such, I seek to follow God's word in every situation. Amen. I hope that you agree with me that that would be good for you to adopt as well. That you are the Lord's. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you've repented of your sin, you've turned to Jesus Christ, you trust in him completely for your soul's salvation. If you've done that, amen, then you're born again. And as a child of God, you are the Lord's. I hope you've already decided that you are the Lord's. If you're a Christian, you are the Lord's, and that you have now, you've yielded yourself unto God, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, not unreasonable, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And so for you and I, understand, if you're born again, I'm a Christian, I am the Lord's, and I am resolved that what I do with God's body, my body, but God's, what I do with myself is going to have to be okay with him. I'm seeking his word, I'm seeking his will. Can we say that that's probably a good plan? Amen? I think that's a good plan. So as such, I will let the Bible be my rule for all relationships. Meaning, I will not lie for friends. See how this gets practical real quick? I will not lie for you, and I would not expect you to lie for me. Amen? You say, does that happen? Oh, yeah, it happens. Oh, yeah. I've lost friends because they want me to lie for them. I will not steal for friends. I was taken advantage of when I was a young person. a lady in our neighborhood used to do all kinds of stuff for us kids and all that. We didn't realize it. She actually taught us how to be a gang of thieves. We would go in stores and steal stuff for her. Yep, sorry. Wasn't brought up as a Christian. Didn't get saved till I was 25. That's what happened in my life. But I will not, as your friend, I will say to you, I have a boundary. I will not steal for you. Amen? I will not engage in drinking, drugs, or anything like that for you, for a friend. Just not going to do it. Already drawn a line. It's a boundary. By the way, if anybody tries to pressure me that way, it kind of helps me understand that they're really not a friend. Amen? I will not talk foolishly with a friend. I'm not going to engage in off-color jokes and profanities and all that. I'm not going to do that. Amen? Why? Because the Bible tells me not to. Foolish jesting and all that. I can give you scripture for all these. I will not engage in sexual activity outside of a marriage for a friend, to include sensual touching. Hope all you have all these already in place in your lives. I will not let a friend make me less faithful to God, God's word, or God's things like church. You hear stories where family comes over. Man, it's church time. Family's like, oh man, I'm here. I've traveled all these hours. Oh, you can go with me. Right? God has said that the faithful man abounds with blessings. He's called me to be faithful. Just be faithful. Amen? So don't let friends make you less faithful to anything. I will prove everything in my friendship by the word of God. James 4:4 says this, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So I'm not going to let my friends make me a friend of the world, because in doing so, it would make me the enemy of God. Does that make sense? Setting up boundaries. Number one, I am the Lord's and seek to follow God's word in every situation. That's my desire. Number two, I have my own life to lead. And if I fail at my primary responsibilities, then I cannot be a good friend to anyone. Let me say that again. I have my own life to lead. And if I fail at my primary responsibilities, then I cannot be a good friend to anyone. Consider 1 Timothy 3:4-5. It says that a bishop is one that ruleth his own house well. It always amazes me how many people that can't even rule their own house, they want to go out, run out into ministry. Ruling your house is a whole lot easier than ministry. The training ground God has gave us is the home, you see. It says, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's almost like we think, oh, this will be easier. You're insane, amen. That's a little backwards in your thinking. That's crazy, amen. How about 1 Timothy 5:8? But if any provide not for his own, I have a responsibility to provide for my own, right? And if I let a friend keep me from my primary responsibility, then I failed. Number one, I've not been a good friend to them. And number two, I've let them encourage me to be someone who's not able to be a good friend, right? So, but if any provide not for his own, watch this, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. If I don't provide for my own in my own house, then I'm worse than an unbeliever in God's eyes. I've denied the faith, and I can't do that. Does that make sense? And so, number one, I'm the Lord's and seek to follow God's word in every situation. Number two, I have my own life to lead. And if I fail at my primary responsibilities, then I cannot be a good friend to anyone. Make sense? Number three, as a Christian, my responsibility is to seek to see souls saved and people discipled. So once I get past those few things, now I'm ready to start pressing out a little bit and try to help some people. Amen? I can't help people if I'm not in a place to help people. You can't help people unless you're stable. Amen? If you're unstable people don't help people, they need help. Right? So if we're going to be able to minister, that's what minister means. It means to serve. It means to go help people. If you're not stable, then you can't do that. But praise the Lord if you are stable, because now you're able. When you look at the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, because that household was stable, well, then her husband got to go sit in the gate and be able to be active and engaged in the political things of that day and in giving advice in the gate and adjudicating things and all that. It was because the primary things were stable that it enabled ministry, you see. And that's how it works. Anybody that seeks ministry when their primary responsibility is a mess is worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. Make sense? So for us, remember, we're trying to build a framework here so we can operate our own lives. So that's the starting point. Does that make sense? Now we're going to go minister. And number three, as a Christian, my responsibility is to seek souls to be saved and people to be disciples. So when I lead someone to Christ, 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul shows us that Timothy was his son in the faith. So when I lead someone to Christ, now they are, in a sense, my child in the faith. God used me to lead them to Christ. I represent the role of a parent. They being they coming to Christ as a babe in Christ, it's a baby, they're now a child in Christ. Don't let that analogy get out of hand. But just what that's talking about is that the parent has responsibility to the child. And by the way, that's not demeaning to the one who just got saved. All it's saying is, if you just got saved, you have no idea what Christianity is all about yet. There's no way. I mean, I've been saved for, 30 years, whatever, something like that. And I still have room to grow, a lot of room to grow, amen? And I love conversation with people and just discussing things and working through. I love it. It's great because there's always something more to know, amen? But someone that just got saved, remember, when you're in the process of being saved, it's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us in all truth. And if you need to be saved, the scriptures that God is going to bring to your attention are those in reference to you being saved. Not really how to live a Christian life yet, because you're not a Christian, right? So the first thing that a new believer needs is what we would call discipled, taught, right? They need to become a student. Who does that teaching? Primarily the one that led them to Christ would be the first one we'd look to for that. Amen? Local church, teachers, all different things. Sure, we plug into these things. But that one that led them to Christ has a responsibility. So with that in mind, think of this. I will not let the child that I just led to Christ dictate or control my life. I am the spiritual parent. He or she is the spiritual child. I'm not going to let, we have eight kids living, amen. Eight kids that we've come through our home. I am not going to let them run the home. Just determined that a while back, amen. That would be crazy, amen. And if they think they're running the home, then we want to have a conversation. Just to make sure that we're in order. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay, same thing's true in a spiritual sense. That if I lead someone to Jesus, they may have some ideas for how things work. But if a man thinketh he know anything, he knoweth nothing at all as he ought to know. That's what the Bible says. God has an opinion on everything. Discipleship is about me learning God's opinion on everything. What I listen to, how I appear, how I dress, how I relate with people, where I put my time, what I do with money, everything. God's opinion matters. My opinion doesn't matter. That's a mature concept, because a kid thinks his opinion matters. As you grow up, you realize it doesn't matter what I think. Amen? Matters what God thinks. Amen? That's a mature concept. So, we're not going to let a child dictate our relationship. Children are immature and need to be matured through Bible, discipleship, and life training. Life training is taking what you've learned and putting it into practice. If I let a child run a friendship, my friendship, then it will bring us to shame. That's Proverbs 29:15. Child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so, as a spiritual mature one, I will have friends that are less mature in Christianity, but I can't just let them run with everything they think and let them run the relationship. No, you can't do that. You're constantly bringing them back to that point of, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says. Like a broken record, amen? Let's just see what the Bible says, amen? Number two, I will not be drawn into the drama of another person's life. I totally refuse. You ask my wife about this. I don't care if it's like our own family. We're not going to have drama. We're just not. Amen. It's going to get resolved in now. Amen. If the drama happens to be in like extended family, whatever, they can do whatever they want to do. I don't care. They can burn their own houses down. It doesn't really matter. I'll go help clean up the mess. Amen. But at the end of the day, we're not going to get drawn into that fire. And as soon as I sense that we're beginning to, we're cutting that thing off. Why? Because I got my own life to run. And it doesn't run well on drama. Amen? It's set up differently. So I've decided. You may not think that that's an important one for you. For me, it's huge. Amen? And so, again, I'm not saying adopt everything I'm saying here and go with it. I could give you scripture and all these, though. But you may be at a point where you just don't get it yet. That's fine. Amen? You might have to grow a little bit there till you come to that place. Amen? Or get into a situation where you can control the environment. Maybe like I have a situation where I can. Maybe you need to get in that situation where you can. You're not there yet. That's fine. Just grow with it. You're developing your own ground rules. I'm preaching this so that you are encouraged to develop some filters in your influences. Amen? And your influences that come into your life. I will not bring the drama of another person into my home. I don't care who they are. If I bring someone to my home and they're causing drama, they are not going to be there long. They just can't be. They can't. And this is tough because it does create some tense situations at times. That's okay. We have to fight those, amen, in a right way. I will not be put into a situation that I have to give them something I am not comfortable giving. Let me say that again. I will not be put into a situation that I am not comfortable giving them something that I'm not comfortable giving. I just won't. I just can't do that. It's like I lock up on it because it's like this does not compute. Amen. Whether it's time, a lot of times people, when your friends want your time, and I get it. I think John G's the one that said, love equals time spent with people. And I get it. But we only have so much time. We have 168 hours every week, 24 hours in a day. We only have so much time, and a lot of us like to sleep at least part of that, amen? And so we only have so much time to give, and you have to be a good manager of these things. And you can't be pushed to give more time than you haven't determined with God's help to give. Does that make sense? You decide these things. You're the manager of your life for what God has given to you. Amen? And so don't let somebody put you in an uncomfortable position where they are demanding time from you or resources. Or someone might say, well, you own a business. You need to give that person a job. Says who? You don't got to give anybody anything. You can pray about it. You can ask God, God, would you have me to hire that person? If he says no, don't you dare do it. You go to that person, you say, look, I love you. I want to help you, but I've prayed about it. I've asked my friend Jesus, and he said, So for right now, I'm sorry. I mean, I'll help you. I'll go out with you. I'll help you find a job if I have the time to do so, but I can't do something that I'm not comfortable with because God hasn't given me the nod. Does that make sense? And so don't let people put you in a bad. Don't think, but they're going to feel bad over it. That's okay. They need practice feeling bad. Amen. That's fine. Amen. And so don't yield to that manipulation. A place to live, a ride, anything. Don't let people pressure you into something that you're not comfortable with because God has. Listen, if God gives me the nod, I'm willing to do about anything. And you all know that. I go into some rough situations. If God says go, let's go. If God doesn't give you that go ahead, then you better stay back. You better say, no, I can't. Amen. Blame God. Amen. So I prayed. He said no. Amen. That's fine. I do not walk away from relationships. You might say, what? Hear me out. I do not walk away from relationships. They are to be kind of very special in life. I count every person that I know to be a special thing. Precious. I can't remember the last time I had to cut off a friendship. Amen. I just don't act that. I don't go that way. What I do is I set boundaries and I stick with truth and I speak the truth. And if that person is not for the truth, they walk away. I don't have to walk away. Does that make sense? And I don't say it to be mean. I just want to do right, but I'm not going to let somebody manipulate me. Amen. Because they're my quote-unquote friend. Well, I thought we were friends. Well, if you're my friend and we're both friends with Jesus and we've already decided the truth is everything, then I don't know why we're having a problem right now. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how we got. And if they walk away, I mean, I've had some people walk away from me that have hurt, deep down hurt. And I'm like, what in the world? But that's okay. I just have to look to God, let God handle it. Amen. Because it's just the way it is. So I count relationships precious. I can't believe how certain people can just easily walk away from relationships. I don't know how they do it. Amen? Because I don't think that's right. I think people are worth more than that. Amen? And relationships are worth more than that. Once they walk away, you know this about me too, I don't chase people. I reach out, let people know I'm there, give them some truth along the way. I don't chase anybody. The reason is this. Once you start chasing somebody, they now control the relationship. Does that make sense? And if they are controlling the relationship, you are going to be led to do something that you're uncomfortable with. Do not let people put you in an uncomfortable position. Amen. Amen. Well, let's see what's next. As we get into the evangelism tent meeting arena, let us set some healthy boundaries so that we can love people to life. Amen? And if you're unsure about relationships, it's because you haven't set boundaries. It's because you have maybe even violated your own boundaries. Man, call a timeout in the game, amen, and go back and talk to the coach. But Don't break the boundaries that God led you to set. I mean, if in your Bible study devotions, you've set some boundaries just because they're saying, you got to do it now, you got to do it. Don't you love that, the pressure people put on you? Don't you understand? I got to have an answer right now. I tell people, that's too bad you waited to the last minute. I don't work that way. I just don't. You're not going to manipulate me by you telling me now. You've had years to work on this, and all of a sudden now, it's got to happen right now. Sorry for your luck. I'm going to do right without you pressuring me to do wrong. Does that make sense? Don't let people do that to you. It's their way of manipulating. Don't let people put that pressure on you. Let me give you a couple verses here. With all that I said, I'm going to rattle off these verses because of the sake of time, and you're going to find most of the principles that I just gave found in these scriptures, all found in the book of Proverbs. We already read Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17, a man loveth at all times. How do we love? We love to life. How do we do that? By the word of God. Amen. Psalm 41:9. This is actually Psalm, not Proverb, but Psalm 41:9. This was David, and he said this, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. This is someone that came to his house, someone he was close with, hath lifted up his heel against me. He says in verse 10 of chapter 41 of Psalms, he says, but thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. Now, requite here doesn't mean to pay evil for evil. It actually, you study this, it means to make amends, to make good, to restore, to bring about peace in this relationship. God has called us to the ministry of reconciliation. Some friendships are not reconcilable at the moment because they're not willing. But you should always be willing if the conditions are right. Because we, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Because I believe we should call the friends of God. We reconcile things. We resolve things. We fix things. There's nothing that is not able to be fixed if we're willing to let go of our own pride and follow God on it. Everything can be fixed. We don't need to yell. By the way, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And there's, I wrote down a passage about the about anger. Anybody have anybody they know that is an angry person? Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Don't make friends. Don't make friends with angry people. Help them. Influence them. Give them the word of God. Help them to know that their anger is only going to cause problems. It's only going to break things. It's not going to fix things. Amen? But it's not good. Amen? How about, I'll just tell you what it says, but Proverbs 6:1-5 says that we're not to be surety for a friend. Don't co-sign for a friend. The quickest way to mess up a friendship, amen? Amen. You know why they need you to co-sign? It's not they don't have money. It's they've ruined their reputation. They've already burnt so many bridges. Now nobody will give them anything. And they're saying to you, come on, you can trust me. You just go ahead and laugh in their face. Belly laugh. That's funny. That's a good one. And because they've done that to themselves. Don't let them draw you into that. Say, but they need help. They need to pray to God and ask him what they should do, because I'm not going to mess up my stability. Remember, stability is where it starts. I can't help anybody if I lose the stability in my life. Does that make sense? And so don't let people do that to you. Amen? That's Proverbs 6:1-5. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What does that tell us? Sometimes we have to say things to friends that they don't want to hear. But the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Is that what you want? You just want to be lied to? Or do you want to be told the truth? I want people around me that are going to tell me the truth. I may not want to hear it right then. I may not like what I hear. But I should be thankful for it. Amen? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I hope the friendships we have with people are strong enough that we can say those hard things to each other if they're needed to be said, right? What kind of friendship is it if you can't? Well, how about this? Iron sharpeneth iron, right? It talks about the countenance, that we sharpen each other. Well, you have to be a piece of iron to be included there. So you need to be as strong, you need to have some strength to you, iron. And if you're strong, if you've grown in the Lord, now you can sharpen people in a right way and not be hurt yourself. Amen? Matter of fact, you'll be sharpened as well. When iron rubs against iron, both edges are sharpened. Amen? How about Proverbs 27:10? Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Remember how I said I don't walk away from relationships? This is why. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. Don't you insert yourself into someone else's issue unless you're invited. You're starting to see some of these things I mentioned come together. I don't walk away from friendships, relationships. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to be that voice of truth. And I'm not going to insert myself in something that I don't belong in. No, I don't take a dog by the ears, amen. No. You have to battle that out. If you want me to be involved, ask. But don't just think I'm going to jump in, right? There is a difference between what we do here at church and what you do in your own home. And there needs to be a division there. And so I just don't have right to jump in any old place I want to, and neither does anybody. Amen? And so you have to be invited. So very interesting. That's Proverbs 27:10. How about this one? Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. That's interesting. Amen? Friends should not be so close that they get on each other's nerves. Other passages deal with that as well. Amen. If you sense that happening, then you probably need to create a little distance there. Because we don't want to cause problems. We're just a friend. A friendship has a purpose. Friendships are there to help each other. By the way, friendship, your friendship should not be your crutch. Amen. It should not be your support. So where do you get that at? Micah 7. This is amazing. Micah 7. We'll end on this one. Micah 7 and verse 5. You might be a little, you've probably heard this before, but after this message, it might maybe be a little pronounced to you. It says, Micah 7 verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Interesting. So wait a second. I want friendships I can trust. I want friendships that I can have confidence in, but my ultimate trust, I can never give my ultimate trust, because when I do, I let down all guard. And there is only one person I can do that with, and this passage actually gets to that. So let's go ahead and read it all the way through verses 5 through 7. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth, and let her that from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. What that's saying is, we just can't count on people. I don't know if you realize that, but we're just a bunch of sinners. You do realize that about you, right? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I don't always think right. I don't always say the right thing. I don't always give the right advice. I need people to say, well, I don't think that's by the word of God. Thank you. Let's search it. We need this in our lives. We had a gal come in to our church building, 3 weeks ago? And it was during a service. And something was said. And the gal said, you don't trust me. And one of the guys there, I don't know the exact response, but I would say this, you're right. If I was there, I would have said, I'm glad you got that figured out. You're right. I don't trust you no more than you should trust me. We don't even know each other. Anybody that says to you, trust me, all that said to me was, we need some distance here. Big distance. Because I would never do that to somebody. You can trust me. I'm a pastor. What does that mean? Amen. Well, I mean, I read the newspapers. There's some pastors that do some things that aren't good, amen. Violate some trust. And I'm going to say, because of my position, you should, you crazy? Amen. No, you don't demand that people trust you. You don't even say, you just be faithful and let that thing organically become what it should be. Does that make sense? Anytime you have to say to somebody, you can trust me. I think like the government. The government's here and they're here to help. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, whatever. Amen. That makes me very uncomfortable. Does that make sense? And so that's what this passage says. Look at verse 7. Therefore, it doesn't say that we're not without someone to trust. Verse 7 says this. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord and I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You see, the one I trust in is the one that saved my soul. I trust in Jesus. That's who I trust in ultimately. And that's where my hope is. That's where my refuge is. Someone says, I just don't have anybody to talk to. Are you saved? Because I have someone to talk to all the time. And it's Jesus. Amen. I have nobody that understands. Whoa. I believe Jesus understands. Amen. He's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have a faithful high priest. He knows me. He knows me through and through. That's my friend. He knows. I mean, it's wonderful. What a counselor. He's a mighty counselor. Amen. Hallelujah. The friend I trust is Jesus, the one to say. And when we make a friend the object of our trust, we've really took and replaced Jesus with a friend. And that's not good. That's not good, you see. That's really idolatry. So that's who we should trust. If you put trust in a friend to be your help and savior, you will be disappointed. You will be, amen? And so the encouragement tonight is this. As we reach out, and I encourage you to reach out and talk to people and try to get them saved, and once they get saved, we want to see them get baptized, we want to see them join, we want to see them grow, and all of that, just know that as that's going on, you're going to have more and more people vying for parts of you. Be careful with that. Amen. Have boundaries. Learn, like tonight I went through this, how I kind of manage that thing. And I would encourage you to develop similar types of boundaries so that you can keep reaching out. You know what the devil likes to do? He likes to take something you do for good, turn that around so he can put you in a prison cell so that you can't do good anymore. Don't let him do that to you. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to just have a little study here on what it means to be a friend and how we reach out, how we minister, the things that the protections and guards that we must have in place so that the influence of others, and might be well-meaning, but the influence of others can really harm us if we're not careful and keep us from being what and who you want us to be. And God, that's who we desire to be. We're not trying to make up something in our own lives. We trust you for our lives. God, help us with this. God, if anybody among us tonight that's lost needs to be born again, I pray that God would have the opportunity tonight to help them with that. And for every saint tonight, God, help them, Lord, to develop a good set of filters and boundaries in their life so that they can maintain first a position of stability in the background so that they can then reach out, minister, and be used mightily of you this day on until you come back for us, Lord, or that we pass on from this life. God, thank you for this time. Help us now with this in Jesus' name. Amen.